Joining me in the studio, Dan Gordon, Mayor of the Womack. Thanks so much for coming in.
Early week entertainment.
Funny thing that you mentioned Matt Ducey, though, or I almost mentioned him, and that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, is in regards to consents, consenting issues. And if the job, it's a big job, consent procedure is pretty involved, right?
Which depends what sort of consent it is. But hey, look, they're all got their own complication. They turn on the effects of what and circumstances. But, you know, the best thing I say to people when you're going for consents is get some pre-advice before you start, you know, make sure that everything's there. Oftentimes the council gets the blame for it, but then in fact it's the lack of information and that things don't comply. Look, our staff are there to help. We have duty planners there. People can go in any time, any day to get that advice. And if they need support on it, reach out. Always happy to look into it and see what we can do to help.
I'm talking about the Wood End Bypass.
Yep.
Have the consents been looked at for the Wood End Bypass?
Well, the it has been designated.
Yes.
And so that has all been done for some time, but you can't put in place a construction consent until such time as the project's ready to go, because they have it has a time limit. So, but look, in terms of the planning, which is probably the more difficult part, which is getting the designation, that's all in place as I understand.
It's for the Wood End Bypass at the stage, because all political parties now are talking about road and other bits.
Great.
That is actually a good thing.
Yeah.
The green one about the light rail in Christchurch.
Well, we've been working on that light rail plan. I'm part of the Greater Christchurch part. We are part as the council, and I sit on SMS Rapid Transit. We've been working on that for some time.
Yeah.
So all we need now is a commitment from central government in order to make that happen. And we're talking billions of dollars. Otherwise, it just won't happen.
Just going back to the Wood End Bypass, if the planning's been done, but the consents haven't been, how long would a consent take to actually get things going in the Waimakariri for that Wood End Bypass?
Look, but it's probably the biggest part is the design. If it hasn't, and I understand it's the design work and just making sure that comes into play, that can take up to a couple of years.
Okay.
But
that's design, not consent.
They're saying that'll be, well, that would include the consent process. They're saying that, well, Labor was certainly saying the other day, 26-27 commencement, and my understanding is National's the same sort of time frame. Just takes time to design it all, because at the moment there's no point in designing something if it wasn't funded. Now it is, it means that the design work can be gone into, and whatever consents are required, and there'll be consents from ECAN as well, that will be considered as part of that.
So you're saying both major parties are saying 25-26 for
they're
the
saying 26-27.
That's interesting, considering I saw a thing saying that it is shovel ready, the Wood End Bypass, and it's going to happen next year.
Well, I don't know who says shovel ready, or that's next year.
That was actually a piece of information I read about the National Party saying.
Oh, well, hey, look, things depends. It just takes time to design and make sure all that works. As you can imagine, that's a multi-hundred-million plus project, and you've got some complex engineering through there, and it's just got to make sure that the design work's done properly so that it doesn't have an impact.
Just what we want is...
as far as I'm concerned, the sooner the better.
Yeah.
So if it can be achieved sooner, great. And our team, we'll do our bit. ECAN will need to do their bit as part of it. But the most important part is we can't consider anything until we've got design and understand what the impact's going to be.
And that hasn't been fully finalised yet?
Well, it can't be until the design's complete.
Okay, so
But the initial work's all been done. And the important part is where the road's going to go, and it's been designated. So it's been sitting there ready to go for years.
Excellent. Well, here's hoping that we get the Wood End Bypass, and it looks like somewhere along the line we might be getting it. So that's...
Well, we're going to be, which is fantastic. If both sides are committed to it, now it's just a matter of seeing who's in government and how quickly it can be delivered. And I've asked for a meeting with the NZTA, what could get Bogota, he had to clarify all this by way of their time frames, the Woodian safety improvements and all those sort of things. I want some clarity about where all that stands following these announcements, so I'm hoping to have that meeting in the next coming weeks.
Excellent. Will you be talking about the River Road getting some work done as well? Well, that's the council, isn't it? River Road. I read somewhere in the last week or so the council has suggested we're going to spend some $170,000
an extra 170 to the, I think it was 500,000-600,000 was the budget. That's to upgrade parts of River Road and reseal, redo the paths, but also we're down near the showgrounds end where we do get a lot of activity. It's to make sure that that's brought up to a standard as well, and importantly, you know, when we've got big events at the AMP showgrounds, which we're going to have this weekend with the NPC game, which is so good, we want to make sure that the surrounding area can support parking.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. Are you going to be the runner, the run the ball out into the middle, Dan?
I haven't been asked to do that, but I've certainly been invited to be part of it, so, good on you. Which I'm looking forward
to. That's actually a big event. It's the first time big rugby's been back at the showgrounds for a number of years.
Well, it's so good for our area, and you know, full credit to all who have been involved in that, and I know that they came and spoke to our council as well about what we could do to support, and we've certainly, our team have been doing what they can to make sure that event happens. So, but to the AMP showgrounds, we really appreciate you doing what you were able to do to shuffle some other, because there were other things planned at the time to ensure that this can happen. It just shows that we now can host major events here, and we want to be able to do that.
So we've had the tactics at Main Palm, and we've got the Canterbury NPC out there as well. And look, let's face it, it's going to be a bit of a celebration of North Canterbury rugby, which seems to be making a wee bit of, not so much a comeback, but certainly making their presence felt now.
It is, and that's really great. I enjoy going and watching local sports. So like I say to our community, get out and support it when it's here, and go and watch, because there's nothing like live rugby, particularly when it's in your area, or the netball or hockey. You know, in netball, you know, when I watch the tactics games, it'd be really great to continue to get those. And we've got some really motivated people here working to ensure we secure some of that out here, which is fantastic.
Excellent stuff. A couple of local things. You were at the RSA. Was it the RSA last week that you were there?
Saturday. And both the president, Ian Thompson, and the vice president got significant awards. The gold star for Ian Thompson, which is one of the highest awards that RSA can give, and the merit award to Bernie Power, who's the vice president, to recognise the long service that they've given to the RSA club. This is one of the most successful clubs in the country, and it is because of people like Ian and Bernie who make things happen, you know, alongside the club, which have got a really good management structure led by Ross Dittmer and his team. It's one of the most successful in the country because they've got all those things working together, so it's just great to see those two recognised for what they've been doing.
And of course, a week or 10 days or so ago, there was a ceremony at the Cenotaph for the Vietnam veterans. I was wondering why they're all there. Isn't it incredible? I didn't know that one there.
All from throughout New Zealand.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And, you know, it's just, you know, the role of our RSAs and all the work that goes in is to ensure we don't forget the conflicts and the service that was given those years ago. And, you know, I stood and gave thanks to the Vietnam veterans in my speech, and people came up to me afterwards saying thank you. And I didn't realise, not until, you know, obviously I've studied history, but when they came home, they weren't given the victory parades or the parades that others had received because of the, certainly the contribution that was politically, and it was wrong. People gave their service for the country, and they should have been recognised. So services like this now that happen regularly are important, so that not only the veterans, their families get the recognition they deserve, and remembering that that war had a more lasting conflict than a number of others, not only because of the scars internally, externally, the mental anguish that they had, but Agent Orange affected families and does still affect families. And that's something that for a long time wasn't acknowledged, but is now, and it's appropriate we do that.
Talking about service, the Kaiapoi Fire Brigade celebrated, was it 54 years of service for Roy Adams recently?
Yes, so it was the awards night Saturday night. A number got big awards, two received 35-year bars for their service. service, but Roy Adams, 54 years, that's amazing. Someone giving that length of service. So he's had a double gold star, but the 54 years is just the continuing recognition, so he's still serving as a serviceman. So there are about, I think there's four that I've been to that have received the double gold star. And at that point, a number of them decide, well, probably not going to continue in active service, they're honourable. Roy's still active, still going. It's pretty impressive, really, and we're lucky to have him. And it's really good that what the fire service do in terms of their awards nights, which just thank those for their service. Remembering it's all voluntary.
Yeah,
they're not paid for doing what they do. They give up of their time to ensure that our community is safe and protected. And it's got so much more complex, Gary.
Oh,
because they're turning out to purple, which is the medical ones.
That's right.
Well, yep. It's not what they signed on for, but you know, and it's significant. Talking to a number of the brigade members, it adds significantly to what they do.
Interesting, Ben. I had a wee bit to do with the fire comms there a wee while ago, and interesting that there are volunteers out there who are volunteer firefighters. They are the first people at cardiac arrests, yeah, and that sort of thing. So if you see the fire truck rolling up outside a house, ripping in, it might not, and see no smoke, it will probably be a medical event.
Yeah, and that's just because of the pressure of St John's under as well. So it's great that the service is working together like that to ensure that we're looked after.
Any scoops at all today, Dan, before you go?
You ask me that every time. I try and think of one. No, it's a light-ish week for meetings for council this week, but I've got the National Council for Local Government New Zealand in Wellington on Friday, so I'm not aware of any major things there, apart from the focus on the future for local government, which we're actively talking about, and how best we show an incoming government that we united around some of the report's findings and our future. So there are things that are probably taking up our time at the moment.
When is that going to come to a conclusion, the reorganisation or the planned reorganisation?
Well, there's no timeline on that.
Will ratepayers have a chance to have a say in local government as well?
I'm not clear. It hasn't been considered. If it's major, then yes. Look, I'd say like one of the aspects was 4-year terms. Well, that'll either be put by way of piece of legislation, and then it'll be open to public submission. Mm. Some of the others around funding and all those sort of things, well, directly you will have your say at the election because you'll be voting for a political party. And you know, if you've got views on that, let your local candidates know. But some of the aspects, yes, will require consultation, particularly entrenchment, which they talked about. But a lot of the other things are around funding, and really that comes back to, and that's the major source of issue for councils, is the fact that the funding that we've got is just not sustainable, particularly when we get regularly passed on what we call unfunded mandates. So we're required by legislation to deliver, but we're not funded in order to do that. So where does that come back to? It comes back to us having to put the rates up in order to deliver on that. So yeah, those aspects are, you know, I do hope people take more of an interest in those things, because what local government does actually has a direct impact on people's lives. And so those changes that are proposed there's some really good ones in there that I hope we can unite on and make sure it happens.
Okay, absolutely. It's actually becoming more and more apparent that local government, people are taking more of an interest in local government, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's great that they do, because actually what we do is important. We really welcome public engagement and feedback on the things we do, like cycleways. We've got all those things happening at the moment, and we've got a drop-in session on Thursday. So people, we've already been out and consulted on that, and I'm sure there'll be people that will continue to give us feedback on that. And that's good for us, because the more feedback we get, the better we can do the design and make sure it limits the impact or is a better experience for our cyclists, which the whole drive of that is to make sure things are safer. You know, tourism to this district that comes from cycling is actually huge, and the potential is even bigger. And so putting the cycle lanes in, ensure that we can get people out here. They spend the money in the cafes and the shops while they're here, and see things that they might come back again and do. I've had a lot of that feedback. So that work we do is important, in making sure that they're planned right, and we welcome the feedback from the public to make sure we're doing it right.
Dan Gordon, Mayor of the Waimakariri, thanks for popping into Compass FM.
Great, we'll check to you again next week. And great to see you, Kerry, and we'll see you next week. Compass FM.